In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Today, on this first Sunday after Epiphany, we always celebrate Christ's baptism. And I'm wondering what you imagine that looks like. If you were to do a quick Google search, you would immediately find pictures of Christ's baptism, which could be evenly divided into three separate categories. So if you were to look at those, some of you all might imagine the baptism of Christ and what I'm going to call the European style. And in this format, a very white Christ stands neatly wrapped in a great placed loincloth, knee deep in clean water, hands folded, a prayerful and serene gaze on his face, looking towards heaven. And in some of the more ridiculous pictures I've seen, John neatly baptizes him with a sprinkle of water from a tiny shell. This is not the focus of these pictures, however. The focus of these European pictures is almost never on Christ. Instead, it is on what you know, the bright, shining, heavenly dove coming from the sky out of a gigantic star shaped figure, and the star streams across the picture in all directions. It's what our scripture talks about today when it said, when Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. These images focus on Christ's divinity, the divinity of the Holy Spirit shining down upon Christ. Bright colors, gold, shiny things. It could be that you imagine the baptism of Christ in a different form. And I'm going to call this form the Protestant American form. And in these images, Christ stands waist deep, fully clothed, with a completely robed John the Baptist. And the surrounding images are as serene as a picture out of Thoreau's Walden Pond. There is no Holy Spirit. The picture looks very real. And I could literally crop Christ's head off and stick my own in. There's really not much happening in these pictures. And the images to me seem to focus almost solely on Christ's humanity. Now there's a third type of image that comes up in a Google search. And it's an image I was unaware of until this week. Now those persons here who are studying with us on Wednesday night and reading Rowan Williams' book, Being Christian, will notice this sort of image. It's the primary image that Rowan uses to describe baptism. And in this image, there is a bright shining dove of the Holy Spirit, but it's really quite small. And it's at the top of the page. And it sits neatly placed there at the very top, very contained. The focus of the image is almost all on Jesus, for he takes up 3/4 of the page, at least when you look at these Eastern Orthodox images. And he's fully submerged in water. And the water around him is turbulent and powerful and wavy and dangerous and rapid-like and filled with stormy waves. And swimming around Christ are all sorts of things. Sea monsters and sea gods and rocks and things that look sort of scary. And Christ's face doesn't necessarily look prayerfully serene. It looks what I would call concerned. And he really doesn't look like he's coming out of the water anytime soon. It's an image that I am probably the least familiar with when I think about the baptism of Christ. but is perhaps the one which I think is the most representative of who Christ was. A few weeks ago in this very space, we celebrated how Christ was born and how God came down to be born into human life. And that God was not only born into human life, but was born into a dirty darkness of a barn, surrounded by animals and filth and uncleanliness and all that brings life and death. In this image of Christ's baptism submerged in murky waters reminds me of Christ's birth, that God not only came down to earth, but came to experience all that is human, darkness and turbulence and murky waters. It's a picture of a loving God who loved God's children so much that the God came not only to experience the everydayness of our lives, but to experience the darkest, scariest, dangerous places, the most turbulent parts of our lives, the depth of our pain and illness, the abyss of our grief and uncertainty, the expanse of our uncomfortableness. And that God chose to stay there for a little while. It's a view of a very loving God, a full God who came to experience all that is human, to offer us healing and hope and salvation. And today, we will baptize Amanda and Chris in a few moments on this great celebration of our Lord's baptism. Now, I believe that God has always been with them, that God's Spirit breathed life and breath into them, that God's Spirit breathed life into them on the day that they were born, just as God's Spirit breathed life into the very earth when He created the earth, just as God's Spirit breathed life into Adam. And as God's Spirit breathed life into the first Christians at Pentecost. Now, I believe God's Spirit has always been breathing upon Amanda and Chris. But today, Amanda and Chris say yes to that breath. They will stand with us and they will publicly state that they believe in a loving God who created them, a Jesus who is their Christ and Savior, and a Holy Spirit who continues to breathe life. And we as a community will say yes with them together. We will say yes to breath, to the way that God gives us life, to the way that God has been there since the beginning, through the words of the baptismal vow and the Apostles' Creed. And we as a community will pray for Amanda and Chris, that we will support them in their new life. And then we will baptize them. And when we baptize them, we believe that we fully initiate them into the body of Christ, into union with Christ's life and death and resurrection. And we will celebrate their adoption as God's children forever, a bond which we believe is indissolvable. This means that wherever they go from now on, by stating that they believe, that God goes with them. God went with them before, but now they are saying, we believe. And we are saying as a community that they are indissolvably linked to Christ's life. That means that there is nowhere that they or we can go that we can flee from the presence of God. We go to heaven, presence of God. We go to the depths of the earth, presence of God. On days we feel like we're digging our own grave, presence of God. In the brightness of the morning, presence of God. In the deepest part of the oceans of turbulent lives, presence of God. Dead or alive, our highest points, our lowest points, our cold, snowy winters, there is nothing in all of creation that will now ever be able to separate Chris and Amanda from the love of God. For God's breath has been with them since the beginning. But now Christ's baptism, Christ's life, death, and resurrection is also with them. And as that picture shows, there is nowhere in the depths of our humanity that Christ did not travel. From today and now on, Isaiah's words to us are true. Thus says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, he who redeemed you, called you by name. Do not fear. Do not fear when you pass through the waters, because God will be with you. Do not fear when you pass through rivers, because they will not overwhelm you. Do not fear when you walk through fire, for God will be with you. Do not fear, because you are precious in God's sight, honored and beloved. Today, the God who formed Amanda and Chris calls them, redeems them, and has come to be with them and with all of us in the depths and heights of our being from this day and for all days forward. We should not fear. For we are precious, beloved, honored, and special children of God for this day and forever.